hanging lights, row by row. Stay lit. Stay lit.
Welcome back. Welcome back to Stay Lit, Mastering the Christmas Light Hustle. I'm really excited. You know, most installers think this business is about hanging lights. The real pros know it's about the system behind the lights. From the very first phone call to the moment your service stacking, every step matters, right? And if you don't have a workflow, you don't have a business. You have chaos. Now, today we're walking you through the beginning of a typical August, September, or perhaps permanent lighting workflow. We're going to start how to qualify leads, close more jobs, and, you know, deliver a professional install and turn one customer into a lifelong client. As always, this episode is powered by letsgetlitsupply.com, your national source of professional grade Christmas lighting products. Again, I'm your host, Jerry D. And this is Stay Lit, Mastering the Christmas Light Hustle, the podcast that teaches you to make money from magic. Now, today, I'm joined once again by my exceptionally talented co-host. He's a businessman, entrepreneur, Christmas light genius, bounce house rock star, and just all around good dude. From the jump off, it's Christmas light superstar, Nick Glassett. Nick, how's it going?
What's up, everybody? What's up, Jerry? How are you doing, man?
Man, I am wonderful. I'm ready for the weekend, but so far it's been a pretty good week. I can't lie. A little bit gray. It's kind of rainy. I don't know how it is over there, but here it's a little gray. So I have to like make myself feel better, you know? So a lot of M&Ms.
No, we're in like full spring. Like it was nasty on Sunday and gloomy and kind of chilly and windy. But I mean, it is. I'm probably sweating. I was out rolling water slides that we're cleaning out back with the guys right before I jumped on. So probably sweaty. My shirt's dirty, but it's awesome. I love it.
No worries, man. No worries. That just means that you're in the swing of things and you're getting ready to make a ton of money. So
yes,
show me the money.
I got to say, you know, you've been doing this now for a few years. You've done Christmas lights. You've done bounce houses. You've done just about everything. But there's always like a sales process, right? So before we like dive into everything for sure, like what's your overall process for it? Like what do you typically think of? Like, do you think of it in stages or is it just like one thing to the next? Does it flow easily? Do you have to think about it? Like, how do you work when you're selling a job?
So for Christmas lights specifically for the installation business, at first, when I first started, like I didn't think it could get very big, right? And then it did. It popped and it's huge now. So it was chaos there for a while, just, you know, because it's basically a 1 month event, more or less, right? And then your leads is like, I mean, if you get 14 days worth of the most lead, your peak season of leads, so that's like a long season. And so it almost takes like year over year, or at least I should say that differently. It took me year over year over year to kind of refine it. Then I think this last year is where we got it the closest or the best. And so basically what we have is I kind of actually took over sales this last year. So I answered the phone as often as I could. If I couldn't get to it, it rings both me and Cassie at the same time. So Cassie would answer it. But I handled sales where I was like, I wanted to be the one that they got on the phone so I could get in my truck and drive over to their house and sell them, right? Then there's also on the website, you've got, you know, we use Jobber. So on the website, you've got the Jobber form, right, that I've fully customized about 50,000 different ways and times of exactly what I want, all the questions I want to ask them for when they come through as a lead. And it basically, you get a push notification right on your phone. And then again, it's kind of the same thing where it's like for us this year, it was speed to lead. So the second that Jobber notification went off, one of us was getting on the phone immediately. Preseason, I had my lead, probably like who I would consider like my lead installer, Trevor. He's mm-hmm. the highest paid. He does the hardest jobs, et cetera. He was actually selling commission-based before November. Once we got into November, obviously he was out installing. But
right.
So those early seasons, those September, October ones, you know, it was within 5 minutes, one of us is calling. And so like basically 5 minutes ago by, I'm like, did you call? If I didn't get a reply from him, I just called him anyway. and then
smart.
Yeah. But you know, that was the basic bones of kind of how we handled the sales process from there. Once, you know, I talked to him, generally speaking, I would handle them, try and close them, you know, all that good stuff. And then once they're closed, cool, they go on the books for as soon as possible to go get installed.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, I feel like it's kind of a whole different animal in November, right? Because in November, people are just calling and it's just like, okay, it's going to be about this much. Here it is. Do you want it? Yes or no? And you go do it. You know, it's like super quick. Whereas, and you know, I used to work at a Christmas store, so I actually had people coming in, but they were coming in August and in September asking for like, hey, look, I need lights up. I can't do it myself. I'm getting older. I need someone to do it. So we would refer them to these installers, and they'd start calling right away to get on the book. But we would give them like three or four different cards. Say, look, I don't know which one's best for you. You worked it out with yourself. And so they kind of went through their whole sales process individually. So it was separate from what I did. What I did when people came in, I would measure their house, tell them how many feet of lights they need, and then say, okay, here's your lights. You talk to the installer. He'll take care of everything for you, you know? So my outside sales experience is different from my inside sales experience. So outside sales was when I was sold insurance. And so we were chasing down leads, trying to set appointments, kind of doing what you were doing. Like they called, you're calling them back right away. Got to get out there because I got to make that money because it was like 100% commission, you know? So it was very much like, all right, I'm catching this. And it's very different from inside where it was like, well, you know, call this guy or just do this, whatever. It's fine. So I had to ask a lot of other like professional installers, okay, what is your process? And so I kind of compiled this little, I don't know, I guess sales workflow, we'll call it. And we can work through it, talk about how applicable it is. Maybe it's not. In November, I know it's definitely not. But when you're trying to sell throughout the year, especially the early months, like September, October, like you're talking about, I think it has some merit. And we can talk about what works in your area versus what works in other areas and what you can change and modify. But the biggest thing that I want to talk about today, especially, is pre-qualification. Because if you don't pre-qualify, you can waste a lot of time. And I discovered that selling insurance
God.
A lot of time. So,
yeah, I mean, I remember being a rookie, you know, brand new, drove almost an hour and then gave them the price. And they were like, hope I live close to you, buddy. We ain't doing that. And I'm like, it was an hour.
Yeah. And that's just one way, right? So like another hour back, like, that's insane. Like, that's just so much wasted time that you don't think of when you're just starting out, right? You're like, I'm going to get every single job.
Right.
I'm going to do everything I can. And that's good. But also, if you don't pre-qualify, you're going to be missing some other jobs that would have bought from you because you're wasting your time on these, right? So I kind of want to take a look through some of these slides that I made up here. I like to call the pre-design consultation or the pre-qualification period. That's like our first step, right? Now, what is it? Well, it's everything you do before you actually meet with the customer and give the quote. And you kind of gave us already a nice, good head start on it. You got to answer the phone, right? It's the first impression your customer has of you. Are you going to be available? Are you going to take their call? Are you going to do everything you can to help support them? And basically, it sets the tone for the whole sale. Have you found that to be true?
Oh, my God. I literally made it. Probably two years ago, year and a half ago, I tried making vlogs. So I started vlogging, like daily vlogging. And it was a lot of fun. It was a lot of work. But there was literally one of the episodes where I'm driving. I was getting tattooed and I was leaving the tattoo shop and I'm driving in my truck. And I don't remember it was too long ago. I don't remember all the, but I literally went on like a rant where it was like, answer the effing phone. And like the episode, that vlog episode was called Answer the Effing Phone, because the number of people, and I'm gonna speak a little bit more, you know, from the incredible industry here, because sure. That's kind of it's a longer tenured business, right? Or more throughout the year. So I generally have like 10,000 times more conversations with those entrepreneurs than I do with Christmas lights. But the number of people that don't answer the phone, they're like, oh, I got an auto text. They just text back, like no big deal. I'm like, dude, I mean, is there a hotter lead possible than they dialed your phone number and you're gonna treat them like, eh? My auto text, it's outrageous to me. Like, I mean, I'll be tripping over the dog and pushing my 7-year-old out of, you know, pushing her out of the way with her face. Get out of the way, the phone's ringing. Like, you know, in late October, early November, it's like, I mean, that every single, like our average job is around $2,500 is our average install. So it's like every time the phone rings, that's $2,500 in revenue.
Right.
For a Christmas light installation, that's $2,500 in revenue. It's like insane. That's why I took it back over. I'm like, hey, nobody's touching my effing phones. I'm chief sales officer here.
And there's people that don't even make that in a month. And this is like just from one call. It's from maybe 30 minutes to an hour of work, you know, maybe a little bit more depending on the job. But like, that's insane that people literally just don't answer the phone. That's number one easiest thing you could possibly do. I understand though. I hear.
So I hear from Christmas light installers, I hear, I'm just so busy, you know, I don't know what to do. Like, I'm on a ladder, I'm on a roof, I'm in the truck, you know, it's kind of like, I understand all of that, but part of my language, what the hell did you think this was going to be when you started it? You know, I'll have kind of calls, whether I do a podcast or whether I, you know, talk to somebody on the side or meet somebody at one of our trainings or whatever. Like, I'm going to do 200,000 this year. I'm like, who's answering the phone? Oh, I'll just answer them. I'm like, okay, well, who's installing the lights? Well, me and my son. I'm like, you think you can do both at the same time and do a good job? Like, you have to set up kind of like a hierarchy of who's in charge of sales, who's in charge of installs, and they have to be two different people. Now, we could go on an AI tangent here, of course.
Shall we play a game?
I'm not a fan of having AI talk to my customers that are worth $2,500 a piece on average, but...
You know what? I agree. I've been pulling, my daughter's been craving Taco Bell. So I've been pulling up to these Taco Bells, and immediately they start, you know, hello, what would you like to order? So I start ordering only to be interrupted by like an actual person. And I realize that, oh, I was talking to just this automated AI, you know, the data had nothing to do with my order. And I just wasted my breath for like, you know, 30 seconds. And it's so infuriating, right? As just a customer, it's infuriating. Like, and I'm only paying like $11 tops for Taco Bell. Like, imagine if I was paying like thousands of dollars here. Like, I don't think so. I would be mad. I'd call in the next guy. Yeah, for sure. I'm calling the next guy.
That's what I mean. Yeah, I answer the phone in November. I answer the phone for better or worse, no matter what time it rings. Because do I want to take a phone call at 8:45 at night when I'm tucking in my daughter or you know, messing around playing with my son, you know? No, but at the same time, absolutely, because this is what I know, that's what this business is, and there's no way around that other than ignore the money. Like, you either ignore the money or you don't. And so it's kind of like, I'll answer it 6 a.m. like, whatever.
For sure. Now, there's one thing that I did learn selling insurance. So we had our days where we would just be in the office. So every Monday it was an office day. So we never go out to the field unless it was after office hours. But from 8 to 4, we were in there just making phone calls, answering phones, just doing everything. And I found out really quickly that how you answered the phone really can determine whether or not you're going to get that sale. Something as simple as smiling when you're talking on the phone, even if you're in like the worst, like you could just be pissed off, you could be just mad at the world or so upset, whatever. But if you smile while you're talking on the phone, even if it's fake, I've found it works. And so I would tell like my, because I was a district manager, I would tell my the guys under me to do it, my agents, and they didn't believe me, but sure enough, it worked. They were booking more jobs. They sounded more friendly. They hated it because I was forcing them to smile, but it seemed to work, you know? So, you know, you got to be focused on the call itself. You can't just say whatever. You can't just be watching the game while you're talking. You got to focus on the call, take care of your customer, and build that initial rapport. Because when you do that, I've found, at least when I sold insurance and then later on in inside sales, I found that it helped out a lot as well.
Yeah, I fully agree. One thing I'll do, right? So in November, I mean, I'm usually here like, I don't know, I usually get here like 6:30 or 7, and then I don't leave till 7 or 8 p.m. But if I do get a call while I'm around the family, whether I'm in the car with them or at home or whatever, I go out of my way to tell the client or the person on the other end of the call, right, the would-be client, I'm not at the office right now. Like, kind of like,
yeah,
we're that badass that I answered the phone. That's why you hear my dog barking. Because I'm not at the office right now. They're like, well, of course you're not at the office right now. It's 8 p.m. I'm like, well, sometimes I am at the office at 8 p.m. But it kind of almost humanizes the phone call really quickly when they're like, wow, well, thank you for answering.
Right. And it makes them feel so important, right? All of a sudden they're like, wow, this guy is even taking care of me and he doesn't have to. Like, it's after work hours. He's with his family. Why am I, you know, I'm the one bothering him. And so even if they're not like thinking that specifically, it's subconsciously going through their brain and they're more likely to trust you and trust that you're going to take care of, take care of them, which again, is huge in this industry, in the service industry. If you provide the best service, you're going to win hands down, right? I mean, that's like 100% what's going to happen. So, but yes, you got to answer the phone. You got to be fast about it. If you answer the phone, I believe within the first three rings, it already puts you ahead of statistically 50% of your competitors. Like already you've beaten half of them.
Wow.
You just answered that phone. Yeah. Isn't that crazy? Like just literally just pressing a button and saying hello, already you've managed to outbid 50% of your competitors already.
It's so easy too. It's like not even hard.
For some people it's hard, I guess. I don't know, man. But and I get it. If you're on the ladder, yeah, maybe have an assistant that can take those phone calls, or even if it's like your wife starting off, if it's your mom, you know, who's retired and needs something to do, have her answer the phone. Just whatever you can do to get that initial contact there.
You going to answer that?
Quit better jobs than this. Ghostbusters, what do you want?
And of course, as you build momentum, you'll get more, book more consultations, and then you'll go from there. Now, the goal of this first phone call is pre-qualification. So we've talked a little bit about it already, but how important is it, in your opinion, to pre-qualify the lead?
I once I started doing it aggressively, assertively, friendly, of course, like good customer service, but making it like right up front, right? Again, not like in your face, like offensive, but kind of like, before we start this conversation, I'm going to tell you how much it costs. It has cut out so much, I will say, basically more like frustration, right? Because you go on 5 minutes and then you're like, oh yeah, by the way, you know, our average home is 2,500, our minimum is 900, but we don't have an upper end. You know, our biggest job this year was 20 grand or 50 grand or whatever. Mm-hmm. And they go, wait, excuse me? Minimum is 900? All I wanted was blah, 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 blah. And you're like, oh. So
that's not your customer.
Now it's
yeah.
basically right up front. Yeah. So when I answer the phone, the first question I always ask them is what city they're in, because I have good SEO. So Marketing Ninja does my SEO and I have good SEO. So I'm in Covington, Louisiana, but I get calls from Covington, Georgia. I get calls from Madisonville, Texas, because I live in Madisonville. Wow. Like, and so I ask them what city they're in. Right. The other reason I do that is because, again, kind of good advertising and good SEO both, but we'll get phone calls hour and a half away when we go do those jobs, because I'm in a rural spot in Louisiana, but I'm not going to do a $900 job 90 minutes away. No. Right. So first question is what city you're in. And then they say, oh, I'm in Covington. You're like, okay, awesome. Fantastic. Next question is, have you had professional Christmas lights installed before? Because if they say yes, I mean, you just compressed all the things you need to say. Like, they know how it works. Most of the time they say no, then I go straight to money. Then I go straight to awesome. Let me tell you kind of how it works. Custom cut, our minimum is 900, our average is 2,500, blah, 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 blah. And so like, I mean, you're like 60 seconds into this conversation, talking too much, but like, yeah, let's pre-qualify so we can make sure that we're on the same page so we're not wasting each other's time.
Right, right, for sure. Because if they're expecting, you know, like $300 to hang some lights on the roof, I mean, that's not happening. Come on. I mean, you know, go no. ask, and I can say this because I'm Hispanic, but like go ask Jose down the street, you know, he'll do it for you, you know. But like a professional with insurance, with employees that does everything correctly, that has like the LLC that wants to take care of you and will service you the way you expect, like your air conditioner repair guy to service, you know, there, it's going to be more than $300. Right. And I think they need to learn that as well. So yeah, it sets expectations and it helps you realize, I don't know if I need to be working with you, which is as an installer.
Right.
Is
yeah.
Huge.
My favorite is, well, last year I had a guy that did it for $300. And I go, oh, fantastic. Call him. Like, well, he's out of business. Oh, I wonder why.
You can't run a business
doing it for $300. There's no margin. Yeah. Weird.
Jeez. You know, it's insane. There's guys here that still install for $3 a foot, and I don't know how they're making any money at all. I don't know how they're making money, and they're still coming back and doing it. And I remember this one guy in particular, he only charged him $3 a foot. Well, he needed magnet cord. It was metal roof, and he didn't take that into consideration because he just did a flat $3 a foot. Well, with the magnet cord is ridiculously expensive, or if you're using regular cord, magnet clips are expensive as well. So either way, like all of a sudden, he lost money on that job just because he was going to be the lowest. And I felt so bad for him, but I was like, hey, I'll sell it to you, whatever.
Yeah, I mean, even if you use parapet clips, right? Because then you've got a shingle tab and a parapet clip, so your cost is
higher again, right? No, right.
And I don't you were selling to him, right? So if he was in my DMs though, I'd be like, good job, bud. Good job. You're the problem here. Like,
you know, like, I mean, oh, I just told him like, man, that sucks. Yeah, that's right. That's right. But I mean, I straight up told him like, dude, you should not be at $3. He's like, well, I want to undercut everybody. He's like, yeah, but you're also undercutting like your lifestyle. Like you're just doing too many jobs for no money. Like it's not worth it. You're risking your life. Like, what are you doing?
That's like Louis Vuitton suddenly selling their handbags for $100. Why they charge $3,000? Why would they all of a sudden want to undercut people to $100? Why? When you can get, I mean, we were $850 a foot. I'm in rural Louisiana. I'm getting $850 a foot. Why would I want to go to $3,000?
What it tells me is that he's just not a good salesman is what it tells me.
and that's the bottom line.
And
a lot of those guys too, I've seen them in the Facebook groups over the years, right? I've been installing since 2019, so seven years basically. And so they do all the work themselves, like, right? Maybe they have a helper that, you know, is their son, they pay $10.
Their son, usually, yeah.
Yeah. And then they don't have any overhead at all because they have their own truck. Not, you know, there's no insurance. They don't have a building like this that they store things in because the customer keeps the lights at their house. And so like they cut all these corners to where, and then they think they're like some badass. They're like, I profited $20,000 last month. I think you guys are ripping everybody off. I'm like, well, I profit $180,000. How am I the dumb one? Like nobody was mad at me. They gave me their money. They're just like, what are you doing?
I am too smart. S-M-R-T. I mean, S-M-A-R-T.
No, what they're doing is just giving themselves ulcers is what they're doing.
Yeah. And there's no, the other thing that I try to preach about it, whether it's one of our training classes that we do, or if in my Facebook group or whatever, I'm like, there's no scalability to it. Okay, you undercut everybody to $3 so you can land more jobs. You're going to go do a volume play without running a proper business with no insurance. Okay, I get all of it, all right? But then you can't get any bigger. Like you get to size X, which is however many jobs you can do individually, and that's it. That's the end. And then, so it's like, you don't have a business, you have a job. No, you don't have a dickhead boss. You are your own dickhead boss, but
like, right, it's you.
There's no scalability to it. You don't have a business. And then you slip and twist an ankle. Nope, there it goes. Bye-bye.
And actually, I actually know an installer that happened to. He was also pretty low. He was like at 425, something, 450, around there. He had some sort of severe medical issue, lost an entire season. So his customers had to go somewhere else. And when he came back the next year, you know, he was telling me about all the things that went wrong and everything. And he had no support system. He didn't have a lead guy that could like go do it for him. He didn't have like someone in sales that could continue to sell. And so literally when he came back that next year, he was starting all over, hoping to get some of his old clients back and now just hoping to get some new ones. And I thought, man, this is the wrong way to do business. Like just completely the wrong way to do business.
Yeah. And like I said, I mean, it's as simple as like you missed the wrong ladder and then boom, the whole business is down the drain.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. I know another guy. He slipped and fell off a roof and like punctured a lung, broke some ribs, tore his rotator cuff. Now, luckily, he actually had a business where he had, you know, a lead installer. He had some other employees that could take over and, you know, run with it. And so he didn't lose any income on that except for what he had to pay in his medical bills, you know. But like, that's the smart guy. That's where you want to be. Now, of course, you don't want anything to happen to you. But if it does, you want to make sure you have that safety net there. And so you need to be able to expand, and you can't do that unless you have systems like we're talking about. So we kind of talked about this already here, why pre-qualifying matters, avoids wasting your time, protects your schedule and your profitability, and of course your sales become more efficient. So what exactly is a qualified lead in your opinion? Like, who's your perfect customer? You know, you've talked to them and they said, yeah, okay, that's fine. Now what?
I love when they say they've already had Christmas lights installed before professionally. That's my favorite one because, like I said, it trims off so much work. And then basically, so if they say that, you know, and then I can, whatever, I've got to finish selling them. But then once I finish selling them, the goal is to get to their house as soon as possible. Now, if they say no, you've got to go through kind of the little, you know, I shouldn't say script because it's in my head, but like, it's kind of a script in my head, right? Of talk through this, talk through that, talk through this, talk through that. But again, get to their house. So like a qualified lead is where they like, they say, yeah, I go, yeah, I can be there in 30 minutes. And they say, yeah.
Awesome. Awesome. Now, do you find like there's a particular demographic that is typical? Like, is it 50-year-olds, 40-year-olds, you know, like, is there someone like really your perfect customer? Or is it just anyone you see all over the place?
Yeah. So it's, they do kind of fall into like a certain profile for sure. But as far as demographics of age go, like now it's very all over the board. They end up being lawyers, doctors, or business owners. Like that's almost everybody's a lawyer, a doctor, or a business owner, right? A successful entrepreneur, business owner. Because you have to have the income to pay for it, right? And so I'll say this too. Mm-hmm. The other thing that I explain kind of softly to some of the leads, but if they're shocked at how expensive it is, I kind of go back and like explain to them, I run a business the whole year. I got to do different other things in this business. Now, granted, in the summer, I'm not like super busy, right? Getting ready to do Christmas light installs or something, but I am getting, I am prepping the business. Like I run a whole effing business that has like 10 days of leads. Now, of course it's 60 days of leads, but I mean, 90% of it's in 10 days, you know? And so I tell them like, I can't afford to not charge a premium price. One, it's super hard. Two, it's super technical. Three, it's dangerous to some degree, right? And then four, it's like my whole business gets to operate for this long. So it's like I have to charge high prices in order for this service to exist. And so, and I've overcome objection with that. And then I've also calmed down people that weren't going to say yes anyways. But you know, that right there really does help them understand, like, right? Because they hear $2,500 for Christmas lights and they want to flip you the bird. And then,
for sure,
you know, I go back and re-explain it that way, like how it actually happens from our standpoint. And they're like, I'm like, yeah, super hard. And I got 10 days to land jobs, to run a whole entire business. Like, that's it. Like, our Christmas is November, like, but then there's no leads anytime ever. And so it helps qualify the leads a lot.
I gotcha. Yeah. And so when I sold insurance, we would get a lot of those, you know, okay, the price for this amount is going to be this. And I sold whole life insurance, so it was always more expensive, you know? And so I was like, and these were people in like their 70s and 80s trying to get insurance for the first time.
Oh.
Like, well, like, it's going to be like $150 to $250 a month. Like, are you okay with that? And of course, a lot of them were on fixed incomes, but they knew they needed insurance. So a lot of times they were, but there were times they were just like, that's outrageous. I can I can get this insurance for, you know, like $10 a month for like $100,000. It's like, well, that's a different kind of thing. And so we'd have to explain it as well. So I know where you're coming from. We're like, people think they know, but people don't know. They don't know what they want. They really don't know anything about the industry that you're an expert in. So it's the same thing with Christmas lights. You're the expert. You know how dangerous it is to be on like a 1412 roof, right? I mean, you know how dangerous it is to be on like this thing that's unreachable unless you actually rent a lift. I mean, or you're up in this ridiculously tall tree. You're the one that knows how much the lights cost. You're the one that knows what's going to look good. You have to position yourself as the expert, and it helps you overcome some of those objections, but also you're able to kind of temper their expectations with it, is what I've found.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. That's a good, I mean, I have the bill from my workers' comp sitting right here, and we don't even have lights on any other than permanent lights that we just service. We don't touch them, but it's like, yeah, I mean, I got to pay this bill for, and I don't have any revenue coming in.
Right. Exactly. So it's like, so what do you do? Well, we need to charge a little bit more so that we can take care of our employees, just like your boss takes care of you. You know, do you find that once you got the lead, do you do any prep work before, like you get out there? Like, do you pull up their house real quick and kind of sketch something out, or do you just go out there immediately and then do it with them?
So I revamped my entire sales process this year. And so the further into the season we got, the better it got. So what I'll say is, once we get into November, I am very comfortable going with nothing, right? The only thing I do is I have a nice tape measure that I clip on my belt that I never use. It's just there for show, right? And then I carry around my notebook and a pencil, you know, just in case they have a lot of requests. A lot of it I just do in my head. But yeah, and I just basically like, oh, cool, what's your budget range? So and we know it when, if they come through on Jobber, if they call, I have to ask it, right? But then get out on site, and I'm like, yeah, cool, we can do this, we can do that. Now, I do like to be able to pull up their house on Google Earth just so I can like, boom, kind of visualize it, maybe zip a couple of minutes, jot it down real fast, so I kind of have a for instance. But again, I've been doing it so long, I can usually just look at a section of house and be like, yeah, it'll be this much. And so. And what I'll say on this too, because I used to be the opposite of this, but I used to be very exacting in how I wanted to make sure that my pricing was correct to the foot, right? On measurements and everything.
Yeah. Right, right.
And then I realized, I'm like, it's an arbitrary number, right? Now, my arbitrary number is $8.50 a foot, but it's like, it's the number I made up. And so like, if I can go on site, you know, drive 10, 15 minutes away, go on site, land the job, get a deposit check in my hand, get back to the office, actually measure it, and it's $792 a foot. It's like, who cares? We landed that job without a whole bunch of moving parts, right? To capture that lead gen on that was easy, especially if they call. So I'm not even, probably didn't even pay for a freaking Google click.
Well, and that's the other part of it, right? When people are getting in there, they're doing their leads, people don't even know like how much they're actually paying per lead, things like that. But that's a whole other episode that we can get to later on. I know what you mean though. So, and the funny thing is, on some of those jobs, if you had done it at $850 a foot, you might not have sold them, you know, but that $792 is what got them sold, you know? So sometimes it really is very fluid, and you don't have to be so like, well, it's going to be this exact amount right here.
Yeah, because you're on. So the other thing too is you're on site, right? And I just look at it, and go, roof's gonna be 1500, garden bed I'll do for 250, driveway, you know, $400 to outline the driveway, those six bushes, $1200. They say yes, and you come in accidentally, come in lower than you wanted to a little bit, but like, you were there so fast. We were there. So I get that all the time, where they're like, holy, like I'll call them, they're like, shit, I just hit submit. You're already calling me? I'm like, yeah, are you home? I'll be there. I can be there in 10 minutes. I Google Maps it. I'll be there in 10 minutes. They're like, yeah, I'm home. Come on. You get over there, right? And I got my little Let's Get Lit polo, my tape measure, right? And zip it all through. Cool shit. I came in at $7 a foot, whatever. But like, all the impression that we gave, they're our customer forever, right? Forever. They're never going to go anywhere else. So it's like the LTV is way, way, way more valuable than whatever the customer acquisition cost may have been in this business when you do a good job. So it's like, I have a lot of leeway to kind of like play with, so to speak.
Yeah. And so in insurance, we used to call that persistency. Like it's a high persistency if they stay with you for years and years and years.
Mm-hmm.
And that customer that you get right away, that you take care of, they're going to have a way higher persistency than someone looking to just replace their old installer because he went out of business.
Right. You know? Exactly right.
The other one is referrals. They also have a really, really high persistency rate is what I've found. Yeah. So, you know, I like to, when I sold, when I sold Christmas lights, I used to just really quickly pull up their house, measure it out with the roof snap. There's some other ones out there that you can use. Google Earth does a pretty good job too. Now you can even use AI, will do it for you. But mm-hmm. I used to measure it out real quick. And then I would always add in about 10% just for error, like in case I didn't get the pitch exactly right, whatever. I would just kind of throw in 10%. And people usually didn't mind. They didn't know any better. They're just like, oh, okay, it's going to be 217 feet instead of 175. Okay, whatever. I mean,
right.
You're putting it up. What do I know? You're the expert. So, you know, I've found that sometimes playing with numbers actually helps in your benefit as well.
Mm-hmm. Agreed.
The other thing that I've found in my experience, both with inside and outside sales, was what we used to call one-legged presentations. It's when only one of the homeowners was there, like either just the wife or just the husband. Do you ever have any trouble with that? We would always, we're told, like, stay away from one-legged presentations. If only one person's there, reschedule and make sure both are there. But I don't know if that really applies with Christmas lights. How does that work, like, in your experience?
So the same principle definitely applies, right? Where if you get there and it's just the wife, I'm going to run it by my husband. Or you get there and it's just the husband, I'm going to run it by my wife. Like, totally.
Right.
The thing is, like, the season is so pressure-packed and the schedule is so compact, you just don't have the ability. Like, you got to go when you can go, whoever's there, no matter what, right?
Right.
And so the way that I do try to kind of compensate for this or overcome it is I tell them, I try to get a conversation going of the kind of like the size and scope of the business, right? We run four mm-hmm. install crews. I'm the second largest in St. Tammany Parish, those kind of things, to kind of drive urgency, right? And they're like, can you get us installed? I'm like, tomorrow. Like, you can get me installed tomorrow? I'm like, I can get you installed today if you, like, say yes soon. They're like, wait, really? I'm like, yeah, like, the schedule's already full. It doesn't matter where I put you, so I'll just put you at the front. And they're like, oh, I'm like, yeah, just write me the check. And, like, do you want to call your husband? Put him on speakerphone. You know what I mean? Like, jovial.
Right.
But it's kind of like, overcome it with kind of that level of urgency where it's like, the schedule is pretty much already full, you know, or as I do say it a little bit, I say December 2nd or right. Some date that's scary for Christmas light installation, because obviously they're going to spend $2,000-$4,000. They want them ASAP. So I'm like,
right.
Yeah, they're like, well, we don't want them up yet. Okay, cool. I can next Wednesday. Like, well, we would do next Wednesday. I'm like, fantastic. I can get you. I got an empty slot. I got an empty spot on one crew next Wednesday. Yeah, and then, you awesome. Know, drive that urgency. Let me call my husband. Hold on.
Yeah. And I mean, I think so. I remember it was, they used to tell us to do that insurance. I always felt real slimy doing it. So I never really did it. But it's different in Christmas lights because it's true. Like, literally, your schedule is so compact, so tight that it really is like, I just don't have time unless you do it now or unless you wait way back, you know, way off in the distance.
Yep.
It really is true. So don't feel bad about using that, guys out there, because it's true. You're telling the truth. Like, your schedule will fill up, especially in November. November is the easy time. That's when you can even charge more. I know some installers that go up like a couple of dollars in mm-hmm. November just because it's so, you know, it's so tight. We talked a little bit about this already, but you have to be upfront with the price. They have to know the range and they have to know the minimums, because if they don't, they will say no, or they will try to weasel their way out of it. And I know, because I've done that with some plumbers sometimes. So as a customer, it's like, no, okay. I'm sorry. I'm not doing that.
Yeah. I think it's, if they start asking price, I have found, cause I have tried it both ways, where you're like, well, you know, I don't know yet because I haven't measured and da, da, da. Yeah, they're very much like not into it. If you just start spouting numbers, yeah, you get to the either the yes or you get to the yeah, I'm home, you can come over and we can do the consultation, or the no instantly. You just rip the Band-Aid off.
Yeah. So I do have a question. So do you send, some people call it a welcome package. Do you send, once they're in Jobber, any kind of like, hey, someone's coming to your house at this time, or is it just from the phone call? I know there's a few guys that I know that once their job, once their entry is listed and they're going to have the appointment, they'll actually send like an email out or shoot a text saying someone, so-and-so is on the way. You know, do you end up doing that, or do you find it's just kind of useless?
Yeah, I kind of tested it a little bit where I put together like, you know, I don't know what the heck it's called anymore, but like, you remember photo pick collage or whatever? Like,
oh,
whatever.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Put some goofy thing together in Canva of like, you know, basically like a one, might've been two pages, I don't remember, thing of like some jobs that we did. And so that way I could send it to them when I was going to drive over there or when Trevor was going to drive over there. It's not my style. Like I'm not very like operational like that. I'm very fluid. I'm very personable. So for me, for Nick, it doesn't really work good. Now I do love the idea for other people. It just wasn't my thing, I guess you could say.
I gotcha. Yeah. Yeah. Cause I always found there's some of the bigger guys that used to buy from us, you know, the guys that would spend like ridiculous amounts of money just on minis, you know, they typically would send pictures of like their previous work and things like that. But you got to do what works for you. And that's why all of this is, there's the framework is the same, but all the specifics are variable.
Mm-hmm. So, agreed.
But yeah. So when you're there, what do? You sell the excitement, right? You sell the magic, you sell the wonder. You don't sell like how many lights you're putting up. You don't sell like it's this much per foot. You don't sell the bulb or the material. You sell that emotional investment. And that's how you win the jobs ultimately. Whether you're talking to them on the phone or whether you're in front of them, you're going to win the jobs by showing them that picture. You know, you're painting that canvas with like, oh, and right here it's going to be, this tree is going to be completely wrapped head to toe. And we're going to go up your ridge line right over here. And it's going to be so magical. And if you do that, I've found even just an inside sales with the lights, I've found that it sells a lot better.
Yeah. I did a really good job of this early-ish November. Like once you get to November, like 20th, 15th, it's kind of like,
right.
I was just showing up and going, dude, we'll do this. We'll do this. It's going to be fantastic. Yeah. Right. But earlier in the season, before the leads are like really hot and heavy, I had my iPad. I would mock it up on my iPad with ChatGPT real quick, you know, just kind of, and it would goof some stuff up, but it's kind of like, whatever. You just want to be able to show them a picture of like, of like the house that's right here on the slide. Right. And they're like, oh, wow. Whoa. You know, once it got super busy, it was just kind of like, yeah, buddy, we can be here. Do you want us or no?
for sure. Yeah. These are all like September kind of workflows here. Yeah. Yeah. November is just like, I got this time in my schedule. Do you want it? Yes or no? You know, and if they say yes, usually that's it. And you put them in the schedule and you just get it done. But, but yeah, you tend to cut a lot of corners that way, but you have to, because there's no other way to do it without sacrificing something else.
Yeah.
So you're this whole pre-qualification, pre-design, a little checklist here. You qualify the lead, make sure you do that. If you're going to send the welcome package, now's the time to do it. Or if you have like some people like to have their little lookbooks or whatever they're called, make sure you have that. And then just make sure you confirm when you're going over. So in your instance, it's like, I'm going to be there in 30 minutes or whatever. For some people, it's like, can you come by tomorrow afternoon? I have tomorrow off, you know, whatever it is, confirm that. And don't just say it. I've found in insurance, I've found you got to confirm it at least two or three times. You know, you say it. It's like when you're listening to a commercial on the radio, and most people don't listen to radio anymore, but like they say the same thing like three or four times in a row in just slightly different ways to make sure you remember it. And that's what, you know, all right. So, well, I'll be there tomorrow at 4 p.m. You know, make sure you have someone there. And again, tomorrow that's 4 p.m. You know, you just got to say it over and over so that they remember and they don't forget you, because it sucks when you're out there and they forget you.
It sucks when you forget too. I do it
exactly
at the end of the call. Be like, all right, I will see you tomorrow at 4 p.m. Like putting it in my brain, like, so I can make sure it gets to my calendar, make sure it gets to wherever I'm organizing myself that day.
For sure. Yeah. You got to say it over and over. It just helps you remember. Yeah. But that's like the whole pre-qualification, pre-design, like pre-meeting, pre-sales process there. So next week or whatever, next month, whenever it is we meet again, we will go over the actual sales process with the customer about talking through it. And again, this is early. We're not talking November designs here. We're talking like August, September, even early October designs. So we want to make sure you guys are ready to go out there making your sales and being able to do everything that you want to do for your business.
I'll jump in and just say this. The reason this is so valuable to learn is because you're going to be busy in November no matter what, right? The better sales process you have in November, the better you're going to do. But it's like we've been kind of saying over and over here, it's not going to be as robust and sexy right around Thanksgiving sure. as it is before it, right? Especially though, if you're starting new, this is your first season, you're going to invest a bunch of money into hopefully our training, right? Come to see me and Jerry do a training. You're going to invest the money to travel to it, you know, to pay for the tickets. Then you're going to buy a starter pack or $5,000, $10,000 worth of lights to kind of get started this year, kind of depending on your situation. You're then going to start to get these leads that trickle in August, September a little more, you know, October a little more. Mm-hmm. You need to be able to kind of have the blueprint, so to speak, so you can have the practice reps, hopefully land a couple, take a deposit so you have some money that came in so you don't feel like you're going to panic go bankrupt. So that way when you do get to November, you know, 1st through the 5th, And then it kind of ramps up again, 6th through the 10th. And then the closer you get to Thanksgiving, the more it's just kind of like speed, texting. Like, you know, it changes a lot. But it's like it sets you up to be able to have a successful season when you can do these kind of early season quirky things right. So,
right. And they're repeatable, which is great. And they're scalable as well. Every system that you can build, you can scale. If there's no system, you can't scale. So do what you need to do now so that you can build for your future.
Agreed.
And on that note, I'll end it with, well, first, let me thank you again for joining us. And I'll end it with, if there's one thing to take away from today, this business isn't about hanging lights, right? It's about building a system that brings in the right customers, closes them efficiently, which we'll get into next time especially, and delivers an incredible experience and turns them into repeat clients and even clients that might use your other businesses as well. And if you want to build that system the right way, start with the right materials. We'll talk about those that you can get from Let's Get Lit Supply. Professional grade products built for installers who take this seriously. Now, if this episode has helped you, share it with another installer who needs structure in their business and, you know, let us know what part of your workflow needs the most improvement. And till next time, go make it magical and make it profitable.
Love it.